In the fourth episode of the Monday Christian series, entitled Growing Your Perspective, Paul Kim and Sib Sibanda conclude their discussions on the importance of having a biblical perspective on life and business. They lay out the four-chapter biblical narrative and, with passion and insight, address the misplaced emphasis in many Christian circles on either the fall and redemption or on creation and restoration. They reveal why embracing the full meaning of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," releases believers into power and freedom.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique context on the African continent.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Monday Christian podcast entitled Growing Your Perspective. Here's where we are, Paul. We've defined perspective in terms of three component parts, namely the normative, situational, and existential perspectives. We've discussed how perspective impacts culture and strategy, which is what makes it so important in the business context. What I think we'd all like to know at this point is how to improve or grow our perspective. Maybe let's take each aspect of your analogy in turn, beginning with the tint of the lenses, which corresponds to the normative perspective.
For this, I think it's helpful to maybe go back to Ephesians. There's another selection of verses that I'd like to use as a framework, and it's from Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19, quite a famous passage, and I think I also have a song, a well-known Christian song based off of this. But
you're not going to sing it, are you?
No, sure. Then we would lose the audience forever. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, and here's the important bit, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And so the key words that I want to focus on as we chew through the love of Christ as the way to improve our perspective is widen, lengthen, heighten, and deepen. And so let me go through each one. So
let me just jump in there, because I think you said something quite important that's worth noting, is that we're talking about growing our perspective. And in this passage, Paul is talking about how well we're seeing Christ. And from a biblical point of view, in terms of the biblical Christian worldview, that's really what it means to have a clear lens, is to see Christ properly.
Mm.
Not so?
Amen. Yeah. I mean, the Bible phrased in a different way is a unifying story that points to Christ and his kingdom.
There we go.
And so it's not just a story. It's a story with a main protagonist who triumphs above all, defeats death, defeats Satan, and defeats sin.
Good. Please crack on.
Starting with widen, and this goes back to what we referenced, I think, in the first episode in the intro, the two-part gospel inhibits people in ways that it shouldn't, meaning we need to expand that. We need to widen people's perspective of what the Bible actually teaches and move to a four-part biblical story.
And just remind us what we mean by two-part and four-part.
So two-part would be, I am sinful and Jesus has died for me, in order for me to be in a right relationship with God.
Right. So that's the fall and redemption parts of the biblical narrative.
Yes. And I would suggest quite strongly that the Bible covers way more than that. The intro that is missing would be creation. Why did God create humanity and the world in the first place?
Yeah.
Genesis 1 and 2. And how does this story actually end?
Yeah.
What is the end final destination, which would be Revelations 21 and 22? Only four chapters, but very important to the entire biblical story.
Mm.
It's like walking into a movie house 15 minutes late and leaving 15 minutes early.
Right.
Early, it might have been enjoyable, but you definitely didn't get the whole picture.
Very good.
You know, you get the wrong idea of what the story was all about. And so you might at this point in time want biblical substance for that viewpoint. So I want to just go back to some of Jesus' own words. So Mark 1:15, He says, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So good news is pregnant with the idea of kingdom of God. And in the two-part gospel, that is completely neglected. It's just me and my sinfulness.
Right.
And so we've got to expand the view of what the Bible story encapsulates. So I'm going to go through each one of those four sections and briefly highlight what it is and the impact thereof. So starting with creation, God created the earth and out of his generosity entrusted it to us as stewards. God is the creator, so therefore he's the owner. And we are to manage his assets on his behalf for his purposes.
Right.
And so in order to be a faithful steward, we need to know what his purposes are.
And that sets the context for human work, doesn't it? So without that creation narrative, we don't really have bearings for why we work, the purpose of our work, do we?
Yeah, 100%. So that's why a lot of Christians, I think, who are on the two-part gospel diet, they struggle to make sense of their work because work is very painful post-fall.
Yes.
But instead of seeing work as something that was there and good, that got corrupted, they only look at the corruption and then see this thing as not good.
Very good.
Which is very unhelpful. And that comes from a place where you've left out creation.
Yeah.
So a business implication of creation or understanding creation as part of the story is, are you acting like God has given you this opportunity, or have you created this opportunity for yourself and you're the owner of this business?
Very good.
And all business owners will know those are very different ways in which to run your business. I am the owner versus I'm shepherding this for God.
I mean, another one just off the top of my head is the understanding that work is actually a mandate. And so, for example, you know, sometimes we think about, well, if I gave you $1 million today, would you quit your job tomorrow? Because for a lot of people, our idea of paradise is not having to work. But that actually, when we look at the creation narrative, God instructed us and commanded us to work as it's part of what it means to be human. And I think Keller makes this point in Every Good Endeavor.
Yeah. So, I mean, I want to double click on that because I was in a small group the other day where it was quite clear that the group had burnt out from work and the pressures of work. And there were talks around, I am not my work. And, you know, work isn't all that important as a way of distancing themselves from the burnout. Yeah. But the reality is work is such an integral part of our identity. It doesn't make our identity.
Yes.
But as humans, we were made to work and given a mission to work.
Yes.
And so we got to find the right place for work in our identity instead of running away from it.
Good.
Because if you run away from it, you're going to have a serious problem and you're going to be very confused with the joy of work.
Yes.
What the heck do I do with this? I enjoy work. Yeah. I enjoy solving problems.
Yeah.
Is that an evil thing?
Yeah.
Like, where does that fit into my identity as humanity?
Absolutely.
So that's what happens when you bring creation back into the story. Four, everyone's familiar with this, but I think let's expand it to include the fallenness of the world and not just our individual spirituality. So sin entered the world as a result of our decision to ignore God's command and to not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we ended up being kicked out of the Garden of Eden and denied access to the tree of eternal life to ensure that this mistake was not made permanent. Mm. Not only has it entered the world, but it has infected our hearts and minds and from there infected every aspect of our lives. And you actually, if you could track Genesis 4 onwards, you see the ever-growing, worsening cycle of humanity. Genesis 4, Cain and Abel, it's his brother, he kills him. It's like, what's going on there? And all he did was offer a slightly better offering to God than what Cain did. We see Lamech take on two wives and become very proud about how many people he can kill if they've just touched him. And so we end off with Genesis 6. We see how wicked humankind has become and how even the inclination of the thoughts of the human heart were evil at that time.
Yeah.
So Genesis 6 already, we see that almost total depravity of humankind. And that's when we see Noah and his story come about. But the point there is, we need to understand where sinfulness and Satan plays in this context. And again, a great quote from someone else that I'm going to bastardize, but he said, if you don't have a Satan in your story, you make human Satan.
Wow.
And that's a big problem because that's where demonization comes from, right? Republicans versus Democrats and so on and so forth. And we can point to many vaxxers, anti-vaxxers, and so on and so forth. We do this because we've lost the dimension of how evil has entered into humankind. And it's very important to retain that.
Another interesting one in terms of the fall in Genesis, by the time you get to chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, the human beings get together and say, hey, let's set about this great project. And if you read through that, the purpose for that or the ambition was, they said, so that we can make a name for ourselves. Mm. And so suddenly you see work is no longer for the glory of God as it was meant to be in the beginning. So post-fall, work then becomes for the glory of self. And sometimes that's part of what can, linking back to what you're saying about burnout, sometimes that's what can lead us to burnout, is when we idolize work and we make that the source of our identity, the source of our sort of sense of self-worth, and where we're doing it for the glory of self rather than the glory of God.
Yeah, that is a very, very important set of symptoms to work backwards to the root cause, being you're working for more than just serving God. You're doing this to earn something, earn your identity amongst your friends and family, to be able to buy security that you shouldn't be able to buy at that age, or whatever is the case. Burnout is a very important indicator for saying work has become too important in your life. Just quickly, Netflix, there's 3 documentary series that you can get up and close and personal with how certain industries are broken because of man. Rotten, Broken, and Dirty Money. Fantastic. Goes behind the scenes of water, avocado farming, honey, the Volkswagen diesel scandal, and so on and so forth. Fantastic.
Good.
Redemption. So Jesus comes to earth as a man, lives out the full experience as a human while remaining fully obedient to his Father, even to death on a cross. We've heard this so many times. He is fully God and fully human, and he had to be the latter, otherwise he wouldn't be able to represent us. Again, you've heard all of this. But very importantly, what I think a lot of people miss is if you look at even John 3:16, and I suck with quoting verses of verbatim, for God so loved the world, people have always, or in the circles that I've grown up in, they've always taught that the world is people there. Mm. It's not. Mm. The actual Greek word is cosmos, which is the world and everything in it and all its systems and all of that.
Yeah.
So for God so loved all of that, he
loved
sent his
everything.
Son.
He created.
Loved everything.
Yeah.
But all we do is we simplify that to just the people.
Yeah.
And so we've got this mandate to go out and almost be part of the rescue mission of redeeming everything. Mm. God had one chance to, or he did kind of pursue that with Noah, resetting the world.
Right.
Although he didn't completely destroy it, he kind of reset it. And he said he'd never do that again. So there is no backup plan where he completely resets. There is a rescue mission underway. Jesus has led that and guaranteed it, and the rest of us are now participating in recovering every inch of creation for God and Jesus' glory.
Which is not to say, of course, that we are called to perfect the world through our work.
100%, which brings us to renewal. If you end up with Revelations 21 and 22, this idea of what a renewed creation could look like, in particular, the New Jerusalem, which is, I think, both physical and symbolizes this idea. The New Jerusalem comes down. Jesus brings it down. We don't get to create it. So there's this tension of we are participating in the solving of all things because it is an obedient act towards Jesus and acknowledging this new creation. But at the same time, we know that only when Jesus comes back, he perfects everything and brings down a new order.
And another important implication, of course, of the redemption chapter is that linking it back to Babel, where work was now for the glory of man. In Colossians 3:23, Paul says that we should work wholeheartedly because we know that we are working for the Lord. That is the Lord Christ we're serving. And so suddenly we see again for the believer that work is once again being done, not for the glory of self, but for the glory of God.
Yeah, and that's a common theme with us as we work through some of our personal challenges is, am I doing this for myself or am I doing it for God? An interesting business example, a way of kind of applying this to business would be, I often use this is, what would this business have looked like if the fall never happened?
Right.
And that just forces me to remember, actually, work existed before the fall.
Yeah.
Businesses would have been created.
Yeah.
We would have built rocket ships and engineering labs and all of that. If sin wasn't there, what would that engineering lab have looked like?
Right.
What would that retail store have looked like? And it forces me to apply the biblical story to my thinking.
Very good. And I think you've touched on lengthening perspective, which was your next point, haven't you, as you talked about that final chapter?
Yeah, very briefly, we were built for eternity. And so do we have an eternal perspective is what the question would be. Are you building your business and are you building your character? Are you building your families in order to stay the course of eternity with death being just an event there?
Yeah.
Or are you YOLOing? You only have one life and you living it out in whatever selfish way you are doing that. And it's the same applies for your business. Is it to build up a mansion, Ferraris here to enjoy it here because yep. you've got no imagination yeah. of how enjoyable the future would be?
Yeah.
Or are you actually building it to bring more people into the kingdom and to work on the kingdom?
And never mind the imagination, but just believing what God's word says is true.
Amen.
About what we've called chapter 4 of the biblical narrative.
Amen. Last two quickly, heighten your perspective. That was from the Ephesians passage that we drew on earlier on, not the current one, but the one before. Jesus is in charge of everything.
Yep.
And doesn't matter what we're seeing in front of us, he's still in charge. So there's a reason why the situation is bad as it is. You can never let go of the fact that Jesus is in ultimate control and we need to be obedient. That also means that we don't have to be saviors.
Good.
Jesus is king. We don't have to be.
Yeah.
And lastly, deepen your perspective is understanding the root cause of the problem being the sinfulness of man's heart and that we can't ultimately solve that. Only Jesus can. Yeah. So not enough time to work
That's
on
that. That's good, Paul. I particularly resonate with your point about the emphasis often placed on sin and redemption, which are just the two middle chapters of the narrative. It's also worth noting, of course, that some Christian traditions emphasize the other two chapters, the first and the last, creation and consummation, which gives rise to what's commonly referred to as the social gospel. That's a topic for another day, where doing good to people and the environment overshadows the proclamation of the gospel. But anyway, let's move on to the other aspects of your analogy. So we've looked at how do we grow in the tint or the normative perspective. Talk to us briefly about the focus and proportion.
If you think of an artist being able to express his gift in a gazillion different ways,
yeah.
and we kind of go back to God, God has expressed his ingenuity and his magnificence in this world that has so many disciplines that are cooperating, working with each other.
Yeah.
And so for us to become more situationally aware, we need to move away from the current mode of thinking is where we need to specialize. I don't think we're built to specialize as humans. We're clearly capable of mastering, or at least getting better at more than one yes. discipline. And so we need to get better at that. We
right.
need to, as a business owner, you have to do that anyway. You have to get to grips with yeah. legal, accounting, logistics, whatever your type of business is, because the only way to drive a business that has all of those components is to be familiar with all of those in order to understand what needs to be focused on
yes.
or what the problem area is.
Yes.
Then in terms of the existential, the personal bias and the cultural bias is, I mean, it's two things, right? It's having accountability groups that can reflect your biases back to you so that you are aware of them and what the alternatives could be. And this is where it's very important to point back to your normative view, because that helps you to understand each perspective from an objective angle instead of always referencing the one from the other.
Yes.
So I'll use a cultural example of maybe timekeeping, the German way versus, I'm generalizing now, the African way, right? Like I should have picked a country, but I was too scared to pick a specific country.
I think Africa's good.
Okay. So if you reference in just relative to each other, it's really difficult to know which is better.
Yeah.
But if you have something in the middle, which says actually time with family is important. Therefore, time with family is important.
Right.
Therefore, probably African time is more important there.
Right.
Okay. Lots of people need to be coordinated for an event. It would be impossible to run an event if people weren't on time.
Yep.
In that case, German time is more important.
Right.
If you only look at each other the whole time, it's very difficult to understand, you know, when is what better.
Yes.
And that's where normative helps. Yeah. So there, it would be very important to engage with other cultures and to better understand where the perspectives are coming from and then to measure it up against God's word to understand what's helpful where. And the last thing I want to say, and this is why church is so important. Church is the only organization that we know of where there is imposed accountable diversity. You do not have a choice. Your brother and sister is from Ghana.
Yes.
You've got to deal with it.
Right.
Right. And you've got to appreciate it and you come with that. Every other organization, you self-select against people that you don't want to be with.
Right.
And that's why church is so important to be part of to help you with getting a wise perspective.
Indeed, because I think the whole point with, say, the existential part of perspective is that my perspective grows not only through my own experiences, but also from looking at the world from the perspective of your experiences, some of the things that you've been through. And so those help to inform or give a fuller picture of whatever it is that I'm considering. As you are talking as well about the situational perspective, I just thought actually even reading the newspaper becomes a spiritual activity because you are gaining more information about the world about what's happening. So reading science magazines, reading a medical journal, we're getting more experience about God's world, which helps us to apply wisdom or the normative perspective with greater wisdom in our day-to-day work.
I literally just read an article yesterday where they did a study of the beauty of the scientific problem being a key factor to the perseverance of the scientist wanting to continue.
Right.
And, you know, if you're a non-Christian, you don't have an answer for that, right? Yeah. But as a Christian, you understand, well, God has imbued certain problems that need to be solved, but it added a layer of beauty and elegance to it that attracts us to wanting to solve it and persevere.
Yeah.
That's just beautiful from a biblical perspective.
Fantastic. Paul, I wonder if you would just, as we close out this episode, give us an example. We're talking here about the importance of growing our perspective. Can you, perhaps reflecting on your own business experience, give us an example of where perhaps a change or growth in your own perspective changed how you approached a particular business challenge or opportunity.
Yeah, so my first startup was in education technology. It didn't start off in education technology. It was in education, and we wanted to solve the education crisis in South Africa. South Africa is very inefficient with the way it spends its money on education.
Right.
Me and my co-founder back then, Gareth, 20-somethings, the right side of 20-somethings, and we thought we had the solution. And it ended up being an educational technology solution, and it was in the context of social entrepreneurship and social impact being on the rise and so exciting. And, you know, we genuinely thought we could solve this.
Yeah.
We positioned ourselves as the savior. Okay, so that's the normative.
Yeah.
It was wrong because only Jesus is a savior and only Jesus will solve all the problems.
Right.
But we thought we could in our lifetime. Secondly, situationally, we thought that technology was the answer to all the problems we were seeing. But if you actually look at the problems on the ground, firstly, it's a very complex situation.
Yeah.
Secondly, we actually need better qualified and loving teachers, and we need principals who know how to run schools.
Yeah.
Like, that understanding has led me to realize technology is not going to do anything for that. Like,
right.
It's a helpful catalyst, but perhaps in certain situations. But unless we have real people on the ground that love the children, we're not going to make any meaningful progress in this country.
So your perspective in that sense grew as you gathered more information about the problem of education.
100%. And that's why I've always said, I'm going to do education last. And when I do education, if I ever get the opportunity to do it, I'm doing a school.
Right.
I'm not doing any piece of the puzzle because it's really difficult to just only work on the piece of the puzzle.
Yep.
And then the personal bias, and this is kind of overlaps the situational. I love tech.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up on that bias, like tech solves world's problems. And so that's why I went with the technology approach when actually it wasn't a technology issue in the first place. So that's my personal bias coming through. And then engaging with practitioners on the ground, I realized that's probably the last thing you want to approach this problem with.
Fantastic. Thanks for that example. And it really does help us to earth the things we're talking about and seeing how this isn't just theory, but when you change and actively work on changing your perspective with the Bible as your normative, but being open also to learning, so the situational perspective, but then also engaging with other people's perspective and other people's realities, it really does have a real world impact on how you approach business. Not so?
Amen. Yeah, nothing more to add to that. Amen.
Fantastic. Thank you, Paul. Well, this concludes the first mini series in the Monday Christian podcast. In our next episode, we move on to the next one, which is love. Can't wait.
Awesome. Thanks, Sibs.
Thank you for joining us. This episode of Reframed was brought to you by Ziwani, a community of business leaders who partner together to live out their kingdom calling in the marketplace within Africa. Ziwani is a Mergon initiative. To know more about us, visit our website at ziwani.com. That's ZIWANI.com.